and peace be multiplied. Grace to obtain the promises of God. Grace that you might be sanctified, that you might become obedient, and that the blood of Christ may be sprinkled over your entire life. Not just your past. Not just your future sins. I don't want to have any future sins. Now that may be, nobody wants to in the faith. We don't want to, I should say. A lot of double-minded people out there. But we want righteousness. We seek righteousness. And God is not going to fail us to send it. If he were to do that, remember in James how we learned that if, it's like a man looking into a, it's like someone saying, Jesus said, be ye perfect as I am perfect. And James said, if a brother or sister be naked and destitute of daily food, now we're going to use that analogy, this is from James chapter 2. If a brother or sister be naked and destitute of daily food, and one of you say to them, depart in peace, be warmed and filled. You know what that's like? That's like Jesus looks at us and we're not righteous. We're unholy. We're vile. We're despicable. We're sinful creatures. He looks at us and says, be perfect. And then, notwithstanding, he doesn't give them those things which are needful, that they should profit in godliness. James chapter 2, verse 15 and 16. Don't you understand that God, if he's going to require these things of us, he has to give us the stuff that we can do it. He can't just say, be warm and filled without giving us things. We have to actually have those things. Be righteous. Now the word of God makes all things happen. It makes the earth come forth. It makes the flower, it makes the mountains grow. It makes the seas flow. All right, it makes the rain to fall. It makes the whole universe tick. But still, it doesn't just say things. God doesn't say, let there be light. And then there's just theoretically there's light there, but there isn't. No. So when God says, let there be righteousness, let righteousness reign in your members, let not sin reign in your mortal body. When God says that, it has to actually happen because the Word of God makes things really happen. Not just theoretically, not just in a test tube up in heaven somewhere. Because that's the doctrine that's out there that, you just believe and then Christ, he imputes righteousness, which he does. While we are yet sinners, he still imputes righteousness, which means he looks at us as righteous, even before we actually obtain it. But that does not mean he's not going to deliver that promise. He's going to deliver on the promise. But he imputes the righteousness and deals with us on that basis. That's the beauty. See, he's good to us, and why? Because he is the one. Salvation is of him. We aren't the ones saving ourselves, so he would not know for sure if we were going to be righteous. No, he imputes it because he knows that's what he's giving us. Just like he gives us the earnest of the Spirit. Earnest money. It's upfront money. It's something that comes ahead of the actual inheritance, so to speak. But there's all kinds of down payments God is giving us. I'm telling you, this is the truth. Verse 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy hath begotten us again unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. See, as God rose him from the dead, so also we are to walk in newness of life. We are not to be conformed to the image of this world, but we are to be transformed by the renewing of our minds. How do we do that? What do we do? Renew our minds? I just get up every morning, I'm renewing my mind, What do you do? How do you renew your mind? Pray, ask God, renew my mind. Lord, change my heart. Last weekend at church we sang, change my heart, O God. Begotten us again. See, there we are the seed of God. We're going to do John after this. But in John he says, hey, he that is born of God doth not commit sin, for the seed of God remains in him, and he cannot sin. When the seed of God stays in you, it grows. It grows into a man. Not just a baby, a man. And that man is Christ. Christ is going to be formed in you. Paul says, I labor and travail till Christ be formed in you. And he said in Ephesians, till we all come to the unity of the faith, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. That is the goal of Christianity. That is the whole purpose of Christ shedding his blood. You know why you got Jesus' blood on you? Because you're supposed to become him. That is a lively hope, a living hope. It's not a dead hope, like, when I'm dead, I'll be perfect. It's a hope that's lively. It's not just something that's like, well, you know, in the sweet by and by. I mean, it's now. It's exciting. It's exhilarating. It's something that's going on in our lives. It's something that's ever increasing and increasing and growing into something wonderful, perfect, and divine. That's what the resurrection of the dead of Jesus means. The resurrection of the body is yet to come. But even now we walk in newness of life. Our lives renewed every day, shining brighter and brighter to the perfect day, as it is written. So as Christ rose from the dead, we are supposed to rise from the deadness of our sins. Because the wages of sin is death, as it is written. All right, to the resurrection of Jesus from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled, and that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you, who are kept by the power of God through faith, unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. Now, I almost feel like, well, Paul, what are you saying? You're saying everything's now, and he's saying about the last time. No doubt. Well, the inheritance incorruptible, that's the undecaying body. That's what that really means. Undecaying, undefiled, unsoiled, pure. That fades not away, reserved in heaven. Now remember also, though, we in Christ, as Paul has taught, and there's no difference between the doctrine of Peter and Paul. It's just a different way of saying things. It's just like my brethren. They might say the same faith, but just they word it a little differently than I do. I like in Ephesians, and I don't bring this up to contradict Peter, but just to make sure your mind's in the right place. You know, it says, in verse 3 of Ephesians, you know, blessed be God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. Right? Consider here. But God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ, by grace are ye saved, and hath raised us up together, and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Because we are in Christ, we are